Welcome back to Cinema Vino. I'm glad to have you here. Sean Jordan with us again. We'll talk some quick Mandalorian, and then we're going to do some of our old routine of watching a movie. We're going to watch maybe the greatest Christmas gift of all, Die Hard.
Yes.
Two.
It tis the season.
Two. Electric Boogaloo.
This is one, but yeah, Die Harder is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. I just like the name, Die Harder.
Die Harder.
Anyway.
Has some great kills.
Mm-hmm. It's just amazing, and I love it. So, quick run around of the Mando, Tay.
We talked about it over the weekend with some of these other friends that are around us right now. Good episode. Again, it's great just to watch. I don't think there was... I mean, you could have watched that episode. Some jabroni could have sat in and watched it, and there's no backstory or anything.
Yeah.
You just walk in. If you watch it with someone for the first time, I'm sure they'd be like, so what happened here? What happened here? I'm like, no, this is just a standalone episode. Mm-hmm. It's the expose of, like, Lost. You know, it's just like the most random episode that doesn't hopefully leads to something else, but just was kind of a quote-unquote filler episode. Yeah. I liked it a lot, though. Yeah. I thought it was really cool. I did like that, I've already forgot his name, but Bobby from Sons of Anarchy, the big graybeard guy. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't know, I couldn't figure out who the hell that guy was.
But
it was Bill Burr.
Bill Burr until like they mentioned. Oh, yeah. I was like, I know this guy. I know he's from somewhere. What the fuck is he? Mm-hmm. So, but I thought
did pretty good.
Yeah, I thought his character was cool.
Yeah,
I actually liked that.
I sometimes forget he was an actor. Like,
yeah,
I mean, that's kind of how we first saw him with like Breaking Bad.
Yeah, he was great in that. For that small part.
Yeah,
I did. Once again, it kind of goes back to the only thing I can really take from that episode. It they're showing more and more of like the Mandalorian having a heart. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't kill any of those people, just threw him in the prison. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, obviously there were some injuries at the end, I would assume. Yeah. but, like, kind of shows that he's, you know, a nice guy.
They're kind of building his character a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, that's how I took it. It's like, oh, he cares.
Yeah.
Like, he has a heart. He's not just a quote-unquote machine, you know, or an assassin, whatever. Bounty hunter, sorry.
Trav?
I enjoyed it. The acting was a little over the top. Like the Twi'lek gal who was Tonks in the Harry Potter films, and she was Osha in Game of Thrones, the wildling gal that took care of Bran and Rickon.
Oh, yeah.
And
I couldn't place her.
She's,
I couldn't figure it out.
She's normally great actress.
It's probably the giant tentacles on her head.
Yeah, it was that, and they gave her the vampire teeth. She went a little ham.
Yeah, Twi'leks don't normally have vampire teeth, right?
No, I didn't think so. No. And then Clancy Brown, who I fucking love, was the big red dude, Berg, and he was also a little much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know who, like, the director was, but the writer of it was Christopher Yost, who's really fucking good. He did some, like, Avengers cartoons back in the day. However, I looked him up. He also did Thor the Dark World. He owes me for that. But
any relation to David Yost?
He was one of seven writers on that.
Yeah. God damn. Oh, on Dark World.
On Dark World.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
It took seven people to come up with that. That's...
I think there was one that was just story by, and then like six other dudes that just actually, like, let me try and
what they did was
fix it.
They each wrote one every seven lines.
Yeah.
And they just traded it off back around a circle.
I believe it.
Yeah.
But no, I enjoyed the episode. I feel it's like the weakest one so far.
Yeah.
It did kind of remind me of just like a D&D crew getting ready. Like, because they did full on the heist movie first half, and then the like Man on the Run, a little bit of Die Hard at the end.
And
everybody
connected that too.
Turning around and being like, "Oh shit!" There was another. Nope, I'm not gonna remember the name of the movie. But the premise and everything was good. Over fucking acted a lot.
I really enjoyed it. I don't think it was the worst overall. I would actually say that I enjoyed this one more than some of the other like standalone filler episodes. Like.
Yeah.
Compared to like the Tatooine episode, that one was kind of dumb. I mean, they're good episodes. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy them, but I think we are getting a little tired with the plot advancing story.
Mm-hmm.
We're not. We didn't even get any lore drops in this one. I mean, nothing added on to the Star Wars universe. Yeah. Right. We just kind of saw Mandalorian's character got built a little bit. He's not. They broke with the traditional Western trope of. He's a nameless killer who, you know, he has morals, but he still kills. It's like he doesn't. He just sort of like, it showed him being a badass fighter, which someone brought up an excellent point of like, if you have a character that never takes a helmet off, it's really easy to be a stunt actor.
Yeah.
Like, It you can do so much stunt work, and the main character doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't even have that much dialogue.
Yeah,
this is like the easiest role that Pedro Pascal has ever worked.
Yep.
And I mean, it was fun. I thought it was some fun. Cool fight stuff.
That's a good act. It was a fun episode.
It's fun.
Yeah. Well, I thought that he had killed like everybody, so I was like, okay, they're going to introduce a whole bunch of characters that he's known or knows him,
and he just
they can add to the story
them.
And like, oh, they're gonna be one and done, gone. But well, he did leave the whatever few of them alive. I'm pretty sure those other two are dead.
Oh
but,
yeah, they're dead.
If they come back at a later date, then you're like, okay, well that was their intro and see.
Well,
if
and
they
he was
and
the guy
bigger.
That was actually manning the prison, like the non-droid,
Davin.
Yeah, he was trying to let him live.
Yeah,
okay. kind of showing that, like, you know, cause even I was at that point, I'm like, what is happening right now?
Also,
was like
emergency beacon goes off, and they're like, oh no, and they're like, we have 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was like,
it's like
also,
oh, so we're fine.
Hyperspace.
We're fine.
Yeah, and we have hyperdrives. What the fuck is this?
Yeah.
That scene with the guard reminded me of Apocalypse Now, where the boat stops, this random fishing boat, because the captain of the boat's like, no, we got to search every boat. And Martin Sheen's like, no, this is not the mission. And eventually those two get in a screaming match that, you know, we got to take this boat in. It's suspicious, yada, yada. And like, no, we got to go up the river and find Marlon Brando. And they're eventually yelling at each other back and forth. And Lawrence Fishburne accidentally kills everybody with his machine gun.
Whoops.
So,
whoops-a-daisy. Spoiler alert.
We've all been there.
Yeah. And then there's that kind of same moment where it's like, oh, okay. Well, moving on.
I was thinking Reservoir Dogs.
That too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's a classic standoff.
Mm-hmm. Remind me of The Dirty Dozen a little bit. The classic Charles Bronson, Lee Marvin movie where they're, you know, the bad guys all get together. It's like every movie like that where...
Yeah, we're doing a job.
Yeah.
We got the wheel man.
And it's like the Klingon thing where, like, every time Worf goes to be with the Klingons, all they do is haze them the whole time, kind of like these guys do the Mandalorian. You know, it's like their job is to bust the balls all the time. Mm-hmm. He's really good, as they say, and that kind of shit.
Yeah. I love the, why didn't you tell him about what you did on that one job? And he just, I did what I had to do.
Yeah.
Got him, Mando. Mm-hmm.
Why does the android have to go and try and kill Baby Yoda? He's like, oh, here's a thing on this ship. I should definitely grab a gun and start walking through here.
All he saw was the hologram being like, bring the bounty back to me.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, better go find this baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it didn't make any...
The connections didn't really make sense. It was like they were missing like a deleted scene that kind of explained it a little bit better.
Yeah.
Right.
But I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I mean, was it Monster of the Week, the X-Files thing, where it's like you get the standalone episodes that don't really do anything?
But the thing about X-Files is you would get like a little stinger at the end that sort of advanced the overall plot, like the overarching seasonal plot.
Mm-hmm.
All we kind of got on this one was just he went to do a job, killed everybody, he left.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was going to like park his ship is the Razor's Crest, which I didn't pick up on before. It's a badass name for a ship.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was going to park it in that deal and they were going to be like, well, your ship's a little shitty, so we're going to have to make some upgrades. And that basically it would be like a video game. Like, ooh, I get to spend some of this money now. Or like, free shit.
You did bring up a good point. We saw the whistling birds again.
But,
fucking useless.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was fighting like five guys in a room. He makes them. He has them go off, pointing them at fucking no one, takes all of them out.
The one person he was trying
to take out.
Stormtroopers.
Well, yeah.
Basically red shirts.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, dick. Or no, sorry, he said wise ass.
That's
pretty good.
I think red shirts probably take out stormtroopers. I think they might be a notch above stormtroopers.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
what's the ROF on those phasers?
The stormtroopers couldn't hit them.
Yes.
So.
I think, yeah. Especially when you got the Star Trek guys are firing continuous like beams, you know, rather than
pulses.
Yeah, but
what's that cooldown?
A good question. But, yeah.
Have you ever noticed in the Star Wars universe that like all guns pretty much have the same amount of power?
Mm-hmm.
But then there's like rifles and pistols and like mini pistols. Mm-hmm. And they never address like, obviously one is more accurate, I guess, but do they have different power? Do they have different cooldowns?
Of course. The longer that barrel is, the more powerful it is. Duh.
I mean, I guess.
Maybe.
Pew, pew. if it makes a bigger sound.
Was the Death Star the biggest pew?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
That's going to be your text tone now, the deeper pew.
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 It's like, oh, Travis is texting.
That's great. Yeah. Actually, the deepest pew is Travis's rap name.
Deepest pew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I enjoyed it. That was good shit. Good use of the wrist-mounted whipcord launcher.
Yeah, we did. We got a lot of accessories.
A lot of, yeah, it was a good accessory one.
A lot of flamethrower. How much fluid does he get, or is it like gel that he just like napalms people with? Like how much? How often does he have to go refill that?
What's
thing?
What's his reload? Yeah. He just has like a little butane container.
Is it like in a colostomy bag? Like up against?
That's an image of the colostomy bag.
Just full of that amount of fuel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can see like lasers being infinite ammo with like a cooldown period, but like flamethrowers, you do kind of have to have some sort of fuel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know Travis is sober because he just said wrist-mounted ripcord launcher.
That's the safe
Whipcord, dick.
Was it ripcord? Whipcord?
It's not ripcord.
Ripcord.
Jesus.
Whipcord. Okay.
Whipcord.
Sorry, not dick. Wise ass.
Yes. We're going to try that again later, though. Post-diehard. But
wrist-mounted
whipcord.
Whipcord launcher.
Whip.
So, we'll be back after.
Wait, what are we drinking?
We're drinking right now in honor of Die Hard, which we're about to watch. I don't have to really work to pronounce this. Goebbelsburg, Schlosskellerei, Capital Riesling.
But you won't get Goebbels.
So, yeah, it's a German wine for our German villain.
What do we have here? We have ourselves an RV.
Hans Gruber. So, yeah, and we should have done an Asian wine for Asian Dawn, which is one of the groups they're trying to liberate, supposedly, in the movie.
Asian. Damn, I've already forgot about that. I'm going to laugh too hard.
What's funny is
laugh hard.
In my head, I kind of pictured like an Asian guy named Don.
Yeah.
We're trying to liberate Asian Don.
It's like Asian Jim from The Office.
Yes.
So on that note, we'll be right back.
Love you.
Welcome back to San Levino. We just watched Die Hard, and I don't like to throw around a word like iconic. I'm on record as hating that word. It's a word that should be used sparingly to describe anything. People describe their fucking hot dog as iconic, and that's bullshit. It's like
that, or epic.
Yeah.
It's like, my epic wiener.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that was me in high school.
I wouldn't say it's iconic. I would say it's iconic.
Yeah. Which is Swedish. But Die Hard is an iconic action movie. Yeah. And it sits amongst the greatest action movies ever made.
Yeah.
And it's one of the movies that probably pops in a lot of people's heads when they think of action movies. They think of Bruce Willis and they think of, you know, Trapped in a Skyscraper.
If you could draw just off the top of your head one comp to Die Hard, what would it be?
I hate to say Passenger 57, oh, yeah. Wesley Snipes, Under Siege, Steven Seagal.
Oh, yeah, I mean, no, I think Speed.
Yeah, Speed. Yeah,
exactly. Anything where it's one man against...
One man against everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I think we can say that...
Draw one comparison?
Maybe different.
I thought you meant competition.
Hey, Trevor, I'm talking. I'm talking, Travis. Yeah, okay. Shut up.
Travis has the talking
here. I would say in the last like two or three years, that maybe it's gotten bigger because of this whole debate of, is it a Christmas movie?
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, I don't know.
I'm going to go on the record right here, and I'm going to say, this movie is just as much about Christmas as any other bullshit Hallmark movie
That
has come out Cash in the last 5 years.
Yeah, exactly.
The Hallmark movies have nothing to do with Christmas just as much as Die Hard has anything to do
love
with Christmas.
Love story. Mm-hmm. We have a love story.
It's yeah. a exactly. love story going yeah. on in the setting of Christmas
yeah.
about a guy who's like, I got to go save my marriage with this woman. Mm-hmm. It's Christmas. Better go figure it out.
Because like, the whole premise is, goes to a Christmas party.
Yeah, yeah exactly. And
yada, yada, yada.
It's Christmas. Everything to save a vault full of bearer bonds. And if that doesn't scream Christmas,
that's Hallmark.
The holidays.
Up and down.
Yeah.
Does Carl's brother have a name? I don't even remember.
Waldo Valdo?
What's his name? Because it's like,
but
I remember
he gets, like, he plops a little Santa hat on him and then writes ho, ho, ho.
Someone has to tell Carl his brother is dead.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember that. I don't know if they ever drop his.
And even. Continue.
Because it's like John McClane is up above him writing the names down in marker. And I don't know if he writes the brother's name down.
Was that marker?
I think it was Fritz.
Sharpie.
I think his name was Fritz.
Fritz?
Yeah.
Fritz.
Did he have Sharpie? I just always assumed, and I this could be completely wrong. I just assumed he wrote that in blood.
That's true. However, when he looks at the duct tape at the very end, one of the duct tapes, mistletoe. I really kind of wish that he had used the mistletoe duct tape.
It's cute.
And the movie ends with a kiss.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and maybe, I don't know if we should summarize this for people who haven't necessarily seen Die Hard, which is your fucking wonky.
If you haven't seen Die Hard, what the fuck? It's the Christmas season. Go out, get Die Hard on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Region 1, by the way. Mm-hmm. Region 1. Mm-hmm. Don't be like Travis.
Okay.
Region 2 bud over here.
So Die Hard 1, Die Hard 2, both Christmas movies. Mm-hmm. Die Hard 3, not a Christmas movie.
However, still good because it has the one caveat rule in that every single Sam Jackson Die Hard movie is good.
There's,
so
if just it has, the one. There's just it, the one yeah, Sam yeah. Jackson.
But if it has Christmas or Sam Jackson, then it's a good Die Hard movie.
In good shape. Yeah.
Oh, and if it's and if it's Sam Jackson and Christmas, boom. That's like a you know.
Fair enough.
What Christmas movie has Sam Jackson been in?
Oh, with... No. If they were to make a Die
Hard. No, I want you to tell me which Sam Jackson movie is a Christmas movie.
The Long Kiss Goodnight? Was that a Christmas movie?
Actually, it was.
Hateful Eight?
I was going to say...
it's snowy.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say... It's romantic. I was going to say Coming to America, but yes.
Is he in that?
Yes, he's the guy that's holding up the fake McDonald's.
Oh,
fuck, Travis, he is. That's
that's Travis, a deep track.
I mean, Travis, like, I don't see color, but I mean, like, I guess he is in there.
It would have been a lot more cool if I would have said it that much faster.
Yeah.
Why did this episode get so racially charged?
Yeah, this is interesting. Especially a diehard Christmas. So we'll go around the horn. We'll start with Travis. What do you think? What are your thoughts on watching Die Hard?
So here's my dissertation. It was based on the book Nothing Lasts Forever. Which was, I guess there was a Frank Sinatra movie in 68 that was, basically a, 66, called The Detective, which was essentially a prequel, which I need to watch. All right, so in the book, long story short, is whatever the company is doing is actually bullshit and shady, and it's his daughter, not his wife, that works at the Nakatomi. And
so in the book, we're erring on the side of the terrorists.
Yes. Also John McClane is like in his 50s and he's like a retired cop or detective or whatever. Also, at the very end, his daughter dies because she is an asshole, and it's that whole Rolex thing. He's trying to save her, and that's the thing that breaks, and she falls to her death along with Hans, and he's like, whoops. And then also it is implied that as he is brought out on the ambulance, like, the, you know, taken on the gurney to the ambulance, that he dies before he ever gets to the hospital. It's like,
in the book,
this is a much different book than it is a movie. Yeah.
What's his cause of death? Because in the movie, the worst he got was his feet being shredded up by glass.
I think he was shot twice. I'm not sure if they did the whole feet thing in the book. I don't remember that part.
It's kind of anti-Tarantino.
Yeah.
It's the anti-foot fetish, which is like Joanna has. It's like,
fearful.
My wife does not like feet.
For now.
Bruce Willis, notoriously, in another Tarantino film, where his feet were not predominantly featured in Pulp Fiction.
No. Uma Thurman.
Not in Pulp Fiction.
In Pulp Fiction as well.
But
whose feet were in Pulp Fiction?
She takes her shoes off for the dance competition.
Yeah, because she's got... dirty feet when she walks in and says, all right, let's go. And she puts her feet behind her like, that's a fucking dirty ass foot.
Hot.
Anyway, so Die Hard.
God.
Which is why she was originally cast
in Splash. Nakatomi Plaza.
Mm-hmm. So,
I want that logo on my water bottle.
Yeah,
I need to get that decal.
That and Weyland Yutani from Aliens.
Oh mm-hmm. God, yeah,
the corporation.
But the Weyland Yutani is just like a W and then like a V. I don't know. It's not that cool.
Well, no, Nakatomi, translates into Weyland Yutani in the future.
Stop.
Oh my God.
Such lies.
It's all connected.
Stop.
Such lies.
Bruce Willis is in Aliens canon.
Ellen Ripley is the descendant of John McClane. That's
Travis and his fan theories.
I believe it. That's headcanon now. Yeah.
It's glass cannon.
Straight up headcanon. The girl that answers the phone at the beginning of the movie, that is, she's an alien.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And it's both 20th Century Fox, same studio.
Mostly.
And why is it not on Disney Plus?
They mostly come
and
out.
And why is Die Hard not on Disney Plus?
So, interesting point. Mm-hmm. Disney Plus is trying to keep it PG-13 or below.
Yeah.
So anything R-rated or above, they want to put on Hulu, which they also own.
Mm-hmm. Hogwash.
By that. Well, actually, I don't even know if... Are any Die Hard streaming right now? I don't think so.
I haven't been able to find
it. Yeah, I don't think so
either.
I have
mine on DVD. Criterion.
It's a good question. So I don't want to spoil anything here, but one of my good friends who hosts this podcast, which can also be seen at ToddWoffordMovieReviews.com.
That's not right. Try it again.
Wait, who? MovieReviews.us.
Who? Todd at JesusChrist.com. It's like
that was taken, weirdly enough.
Yeah, donate.
HornyManatee.com.
Christ on my crutch. Todd did pour Jaeger during this movie for the German aspect, mm-hmm. which I also felt rude. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
ShavedOtters.com?
Yes. It's like, that is Travis's domain.
Which is a delicacy in Scandinavia.
Yeah. But I do think that this is a great movie to watch during the holidays or just in Christmas in general mm-hmm. because Todd's birthday is on, well, let's be honest, Christmas Eve. The birth of Santa. Mm-hmm. And so this has always been like a iconic movie for me. So even though every time I watch it, I always pick up little things. And as we were all watching it, we were all picking these little things. Like, this is idiotic. This is so stupid. But this movie will never not be a movie. And like, I don't give a shit if it's a Christmas movie or not.
Yeah.
But I usually always watch it because we used to party pretty hard on Christmas Eve. We all worked in the booze industry. Mm-hmm. And we would get done on Christmas Eve and we would hit it pretty hard.
Yeah.
And whether we would watch it together or not.
For our savior.
I would always at least go home and put it on and like fall asleep.
Yeah.
So it's like this has always been a holiday movie for me, regardless if it's a holiday movie or not.
So yeah. is Die Hard 2. Die Hard 2 also takes place at Christmas.
Exactly.
Yeah. The airport, in the holidays. It's got a little bit of that sprinkle of like Home Alone 2.
And it's got the bad guy in it. Like I wish we could watch that back to back because it's got the bad guy in it, but it doesn't have that feel of Die Hard 1.
It doesn't have the villain.
Like it's
got a I don't know. The villain it's got a good in Die Hard 2.
Yeah.
The villain in Die Hard 2 is sort of like a Fidel Castro kind of situation.
And they still have the bad cop.
But it's split by 3.
Yeah. And like, because in Die Hard 2, it's like, hey, we still have the bad cop who's bad. It was like, hey, and you know,
Dennis Franz from
NYPD. I was like, God damn, I couldn't remember. Yeah. He was, oh my God. He was bad in that movie.
Yeah.
He was bad.
But can we talk about how great the cast is of Die Hard 1?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the cast, they head to toe, the cast is amazing.
Mm hmm. I mean, and the villains all have magnificent, like, perk plus hairdos.
Mm. Yeah.
Well-conditioned.
Oh, the hair, yeah.
The amount of the conditioner budget of this movie mm-hmm. was out of this world.
Oh, the blow-dry and straighten crew? They had to be walking around at all times.
There was a whole bunch of randos in there that were just great. There was Antonio Sabato Jr., who was not in the film, but looked like he was.
Exactly.
But the other two were the dude at the front desk, the guard that looked like fucking Huey Lewis. And the second one that I totally forgot was fucking Viggo the Carpathian from mm-hmm. Ghostbusters 2.
Mm-hmm.
Some good stuff.
And he had the rocket launcher.
You
and was,
put yourself in the position of this guy who's just at his random company party.
Tiniest ponytail.
And you go into somebody else's office and you say, I'm going to do an 8-ball real quick. Just... on their desk.
Fucking Ellis.
Mm-hmm. We've all been there, man.
Just who does coke booby. Off of somebody else's desk in the middle of it? And it's just like, oh, hey,
Look,
officer.
Hey, whew. If Star Wars can do a Solo, we can do an Ellis. Mm-hmm. It was like, I got to hear Ellis's backstory. Like, where did he get this confidence from? It was like,
he's got balls.
Yeah. Like, I got to hear the Ellis story.
Yeah.
Todd, can I tell you how you already failed us in this podcast?
How so?
You invited us over to watch Die Hard. Am I wrong? You're following me so far?
Mm-hmm.
Where are the fucking Twinkies?
Ooh. Twinkies and Jaeger.
I don't mean to call you out on your own podcast. Mm-hmm. We're the fucking Twinkies, man.
It's a big Twinkie.
God damn it, I number five.
But yeah, this was, I mean, it holds up well. It's entertaining.
I think it still holds up.
It's great.
Like, yeah, one of the weird films that like still holds up.
It does not age poorly. No. Some movies you watch and you're like, that's dumb. This is dumb. Everything's dumb about this. Mm-hmm. Die Hard,
except for the tech.
Stands. I mean, the tech is...
But it's still funny.
Is whatever.
It is.
Yeah. It's not an integral part. It's like, oh, he has to put in a password. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's cool. And then he has to like drill through a giant safe. And we talked about this. As someone who works for a large financial company, you don't just have a giant safe in your office.
Beep, boop, boop. Also, it's on the ground floor.
We don't have
in the basement.
We don't have millions of dollars in bearer bonds just like in our office.
What? Where was the vault?
I thought he was on the.
It was on the 30th. It was on the 30th.
It's like 30, 31, 32. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was like, why did they put it?
Because once they were on the roof, the lady's like, they took her to the vault. It's like, where's the vault? The 30th floor.
They froze the elevators 29 down.
All right, gotcha.
Yeah.
This guy.
I'm not real good at math.
This guy can.
But yeah, I mean, that's so well edited, so well, the action scenes are so well put together. I mean, this is going to sound dorky, but the sound effects are so great. You know, the gunfights, explosions.
Music was good.
The music is great.
It's an incredibly well-produced movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was really, like, all I was missing was when Carl's brother was falling down the stairs, I needed one, like, quick snap.
What was Carl's brother's name?
Fritz.
I think it was Fritz. We may have to verify that. We may have to have some fact checkers.
You need a number crunch.
I like Fritz.
I just need one quick cut that showed like something that made me go, and then after he fell, because other than that, like as soon as he hit the bottom, he just goes, and that's it.
And also, I think Todd brought it up. He is also at least a foot taller than Bruce Willis. Yeah. His shoes are too small for him.
Bruce Willis is not tall.
Poise and posture. Hey, Sean, if I were to give you, you've lived several years of life right now, and I feel like you've watched a lot of movies, and I feel like you've got a lot of clout under your belt.
Sure.
Come on,
if I were to give you an over-under, how many wife beaters were used in this film? Go.
I mean, maybe just one.
I cannot express it. It went through so many different color changes. Mm-hmm. It started off white, it went gray, it then went brown, and then it went green at the end of its life. And then he went full on shirtless. And
they ran out of wife beaters.
Mm-hmm. No, nobody uniformly changes color of their shirts. There is no amount of sweat, dust, dirt that you can get on your shirt that can change a white t-shirt into a green t-shirt within a matter of hours. I it's like he literally went into like a camo store and pulled out like a different color wife beater for each shot. It had to have been at least six wife beaters start to finish.
And you know, Bruce Willis gradually turns. He goes from like being reasonably like put together, somewhat sweaty, and by the end of it he's a ground chuck.
He is straight up Return of the Jedi green.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. That's one part I do like about this is that he gets Raiders of the Lost Ark fucked up. Whenever you see is it Last Crusade? No, it's Raiders where he's like sitting there checking out like all the fucking damage that's been done to him. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I fucking hurt. My back is not right.
Oh, yeah. Submarine? Yeah. Yeah.
He's taking like a full inventory, and they do that greatly in this movie where he's like pulling those shards of glass out of his foot. He's like, this was not a fun time.
Mm-hmm.
But what's cool is that like in this film, normally the protagonist and antagonist don't meet each other until the very end. And it's very little interaction other than fighting or something and then resolution.
Mm-hmm.
In this one, you got good old Clay. Bill Clay. They get to meet each other and also they get to size each other up. And then in that part, Alan Rickman is like, oh, he does not have shoes. Mm-hmm. And they can't get to him, so he actually makes a smart choice. He's like, well, let's fuck this dude up.
Shoot the glass.
What'd you say?
shoot the glass.
Mm-hmm. I like how the German guy doesn't understand German, and eventually, Hans, you're ready to speak English.
Yeah.
Yeah, why are they not all just speaking German to each other the whole time? The whole time, you have a tactical advantage of everyone speaking German except for the guy you're fighting against.
Mm-hmm. Also, I'm a big fan, again, of him getting fucked up and then not, two scenes later, being like, oh, I guess my feet are just fine now. I'll just run fine from the rest of the movie. Great.
He pulls his green t-shirt off and he ties it around his feet.
They give you
reminders.
How does
his shirt get green? I don't know. I do not know.
Whenever he's trying to slam into the window after jumping off the goddamn roof with the fire hose.
Okay.
They still show you him slapping up against it and showing you all that blood. I'm like, thank you.
A gun as an anchor while he uses the strap to the gun.
Yeah.
To jump to the AC vent.
That's how his shirt got dirty.
Okay. One, that is a stretch. Okay, we'll give him that one. His shirt gets dirty. Mm-hmm. Two, later on, he uses the fire hose, which happens to be the exact footage, to get down to the floor that he needs to be on.
Ooh, I didn't think of that.
And it gets him there. His shirt is now green for some reason. And he gets there. Those are two very large, improbable situations. Each one on a one-by-one situation is like, okay, yeah, not going to happen.
Speaking of
two of them, bullshit.
Improbable situation, the breasts in the movie. Yeah. So as soon as they start shooting and they run into one of the offices, one of these gals has like her arm still through a sleeve? No. That took me out of the movie. I'm like, that sleeve should be fully off.
He was just,
and it was obstructing some of the breasts she was leaving the room.
He was just starting this thing.
Second part, there is a static stationary boob on the wall of like the
calendar.
Calendar. So you get to see it, and you're like, oh, did I see it? But what was great is they came back to it.
Yeah.
That's
he had to remember where he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a great little acknowledgement on the soundtrack of like a little guitar bend, like the boobs on screen. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, the composer sitting somewhere in a room, just like, that's for the boobs. But yeah, it's a fun movie, and you could show that to people right now, and it'd still be a great movie.
Yeah, fucking love that. Again, one of the movies that I think would definitely hold up.
Is there?
I was just going back and saying, like, it's one of those movies that I think it still holds up because for some reason, the last 3 or 4 years, the debate has been, is it a Christmas movie?
Mm-hmm.
And I think
you're
if you watch it, movie. Like. You're just gonna fall in love with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just the facts.
Yeah. Is there any way it could be better? I say no.
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 I really want a Die Hard ornament. I don't want to have to go to fucking Etsy to get one. I just want Amazon.
Man, I feel you on that, man.
I want Amazon to keep it that
I'm pretty sure it's
Bruce Willis so where he's like it's when he's going through the air vent and he's got the Zippo.
Well, I mean, whoa. So it's not on Amazon?
No, it was somebody made their own.
Well, here's the deal, Braj. Is it on Amazon? It's just not on Amazon Prime?
Oh, no, it's not on Amazon at all.
Really?
Well, this is just like something that somebody made of their own, and then they're like, hey, this is how I made this. So I was like, go fuck yourself. Let me pay $12.99 and just put this thing on my tree.
Well, with Prime.
Why would you not top your tree with a Nakatomi Plaza building that lights up?
That John McClane is jumping off of.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you could have ornaments of like the helicopters going around.
Copyright.
You could do a Die Hard tree. You could do Al Powell's car, like backwards, like upside down.
Copyright.
I'll tell you what's hard right now is me. Jesus.
Hold on. Let me check.
Good Lord.
Mm. You want a Twinkie ornament? Put a Twinkie ornament up there.
He's rocking a bone.
Oh, God, I wish I had a Twinkie right now.
He's frog boning. He's WB over here. Six.
Oh, we're going to do a Scogans podcast. We're going to do one real soon.
Nope.
I'm into it, man.
We're going to do Mitch Scogans.
Here's the deal. Travis gives up. Like, I have to retire too. And I think Mitch Scogans is our way to retirement, man.
He's our white whale.
Taylor, I think you're holding on too tight, man.
Is this the kind of, is this what you want? You want this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Travis.
Only better.
Mm-hmm.
$20, Etsy.
Yeah, that's what I said.
And Travis said
$187.
Travis said Eatsy.
Eatsy.
Which is a different app altogether.
Oh, yeah. That's where otters meet bears. I was like, yeah.
Otters,
you be careful on that side.
Otters hold hands when they sleep.
That's well, it's true.
I'm just saying, you be careful on that site, my friend.
Well, this has been another episode of Cinema Vino, and we thank you.
And you can listen to us.
Apple Podcasts, Spotify, listen, rate, subscribe. My ebook is on Amazon.
Oh, I saw that.
So are you a paperback writer?
Goddamn. Exactly. Author now.
Literally. MovieReviews.us.
What's the...
Oh, no, it's Todd Wofford, MovieReviews.us.
Dot whatever the hell.
Dot gonna give me a fucking...
What's the price point on that Amazon book?
$9.99.
Mm. And what is the title of said book?
It is Cinema Vino Volume 1. Movie and Wine Guide.
And nice. If you buy that, you get a chance to hang out with Travis one night?
You get a free Caribbean cruise with Travis. You get to go to Turks and Caicos.
You get to...
Person that spends $10 gets to spend an entire weekend at Turks and Caicos with me?
We're going to make that happen.
I mean, I guess I'm going to stay there 3 days then?
Oh, yeah.
That is rude!
Wait, who's paying for this? Not the people paying $10 a pop for a book.
You are paying for this.
Well, yeah, you're gonna have to foot that bill.
Sorry, bud.
I'm gonna have to get a job down there. I have no skills.
It's gonna pay pretty well,
Travis.
You're like, what can you do? I was like, I can do mukbang videos, which is me eating large amounts of food on YouTube. I can do that down there. Hopefully, I get lots of followers real quick.
I imagine you will.
Mukbang.
Yeah.
So if we're saying that Tulsa, Oklahoma is, let's say, straight in the middle of a map, if I were to look at a globe, where's Turks and Caicos again?
It's
south.
Yeah. You're going to head south and somewhat east, south by southeast.
I'll find it.
Yeah, you'll find it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just pack a bag and head that way.
Go toward Cuba. Don't go to Cuba.
Mm-hmm. That would be a great first line to a song. Like, great.
Go to Cuba. Don't go to Cuba.
Take that back. No.
This has been another episode of Cinema Vino.
Christ.
And we thank you and we apologize for.
No. Oh, maybe so.
No, we are sincerely sorry for you having to listen to the episode.
Travis signing off with the
video podcast.
Welcome to the potty, pal.
Stop smiling like that. It's Taylor signing off with the Asian guy eating a Crunch Bar.
Sean Jordan, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
It's a hard R.
Argyle, tell me you heard the shots. Call the police. We love you guys.
Pew, 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 pew.